carrefour des arts. Une émission de la rédaction de Canal Académie. On retrouve Émilie Julia.
Welcome to this program. We're going to talk about the famous French printmaker, Mr. Éric de Mazières, and about his entrance at the Académie des Beaux-Arts, the arts academy of the Institute of France here in Paris. It's a mysterious and very fantastical world we're getting in, and that is drawing, and where we're traveling and spending great time. It's really interesting. And to talk about its works, we're receiving Mr. Browns and Mrs. Browns. Thank you very much for being with us today. I think you're coming in a very short travel, but
yes.
I guess it's a privilege to see the entrance of Mr. Éric de Mazières.
When we first got the invitation, we looked at each other and thought, said, no, this is crazy. But after we realized the importance of the honor that was being paid to him, and that it would be once in a lifetime for him, but it would be also once in a lifetime for us, we said, oh, well.
And you're very important for him because you are an important collector of his works. And how many do you have at the moment?
Well, actually, I just acquired some yesterday. So
again, yesterday?
Yes.
Which one?
I acquired the suite of the Bibliothèque de Babel. It was impeccable, as the lady said, a beautiful suite done in the 80s, and never been opened. So I guess now, with all the suites that I have close to 85 or 90 of Eric's work.
Yeah, quite a big collection.
It's a large collection. He has done well over 200 of those, but these are the ones that I love. Maybe there are other collectors of Eric's work who love other things, but these are the ones that
because
I love.
Because you're choosing them with the heart.
Yes.
First of
all.
You've been following its works for a long time now. When did you discover him? What brought you to be interested in him?
I started collecting prints. Somebody asked me yesterday, why did you collect prints? And I said, because I couldn't afford paintings. So that was a pretty simple answer. And I found in prints the same world as in paintings. But also, if you study the painter printmaker throughout the lifetime, going from the 16th century, Lucas van Leyden, 17th century, Rembrandt, etc., you always find that very often either they worked out their ideas in prints, or they resolved their ideas in prints. And they took printmaking not as just an adjunct to have another piece of art that they could sell, but it became a fine art in itself. Particularly when the artist, like Rembrandt, which I know a little bit about, was his own printer. So he etched the plate, he worked it with the acid, reworked it, etc. And then he would, before he printed, he would put on the ink himself. And how he put the ink on, you look at five impressions of the same print, you very rarely will find the same exact image, okay? Because with the toning of the plate, as they call it, how he spread the ink, you've got different moods, different characters and faces, etc., etc.
You're very fascinating in its techniques, in the way he's working. And before this interview, you were telling me that you could compare him to very ancient printmakers.
Yes. I'll quote now what I told you before. The curator who did the show was a brilliant, brilliant man called Hilliard Goldfarb, who was actually awarded an honor by the French government. He's officier de Beaux-Arts. He said in the present, we made little speeches 3 minutes before the vernissage, and he said that not only is Éric de Mazières a contemporary artist, but he has all the mastery and the know-how of masters of the 16th and 17th and 18th century. The way he handles his etching needle and his techniques, and the way he applies the ink. And of course, Eric goes one more now. He actually has taken recently, fairly recently, to painting on the print. So you have many variations, and he does it with gouache, so it's one-off. It's not something that's printed in a printing press. It's by hand. So you have to admire an artist who's never quite satisfied with his own work, but is always trying to push the envelope, trying to push the boundaries. Sometimes he succeeds, sometimes he fails. And as I said to you before in the pre-interview, one of his assets for us, for my wife and myself, is he is a gentleman, always has been. I've known the man for 25 years, and it's not a show. He is a gentleman. He's, for me, a true artist.
And it is a very important part of the personality for you, according
yes.
to you.
He doesn't have to show you that he's an artist. It exists in his eyes and his hands and his brain. But with people, we find him always un gentilhomme.
Could you please tell us and explain his world? I mean, his printing and making kind of mysterious world. And could you please help our audience to understand its works and kind of imagination he's got? Because it's a really special way of drawing.
Yes. It's not a special way of drawing. He draws in a form that's realistic. So it's not a special way of drawing. Anyone who goes to see his work will immediately recognize what he's got mm-hmm. on paper. But I can tell you that the vernissage of his show in Montreal, which was the first show in Canada, and the first actually at a major museum in North America.
Called the Montreal Museum of Fine Arts.
Montreal Museum of Fine Arts. And it was a vernissage with a big dinner that was given for just 60 guests afterward, et cetera, et cetera. And there were about 200 or 250 people there. Frida, my wife, Eric and myself made a date after that. We met at 11 o'clock the next morning when the museum opened, and we went and saw the exhibition quietly, okay? And I, like any other collector, I think, had questions. You know, how did you arrive at this? How did you arrive at that? And I must say, Eric is like many artists. He doesn't know. Some of them, he tells you, oh, the influence of this or the influence of that. But when I say, why did you do this? He doesn't know. It just came. It just happens. Now, another pleasure that I've had. I have works from 72 when he started to 2008 in the show. And if you go quietly by yourself, you will see the progression of interests from 1972 when he was young and maybe had fantastical things. He had like Star Wars type of scenes, submerged cities, caverns, the Tower of Babel, as you saw on the pamphlet. And then later on, he started putting people in. And then the people became exotic birds. And then he did some series with those. And then he started seeing just the interiors of rooms, but not just just seeing them. He would take the perspectives and distort them slightly so that you are like a fisheye lens. In other words, you go don't just see what you normally see, but you almost see from an 8-millimeter lens. You see peripherally. Then he would see corners out of his window, beautiful wooded lots. And so to me, he has sort of kept me guessing all the time what is going to be his next point. The last piece I acquired is called the Le Magasin de Robert Capia. He did a series called Les Passages, which were all the passages of Paris, and one of them is Vero Doda. And I know it well because I bought it for my son. And apparently in that Vero Doda passage was a shop called Robert Capia, who was an antiquaire, and his specialty was dolls. And as Eric tells it, for years he stopped by and admired and admired. And one day he said to the man, you know, I really should come in and do some drawings here. And the man said, well, you better hurry up because we're closing on Friday. So in 4 days, he sketched the entire store, went back to his studio, and made this incredible etching.
And he's got a lot of humor in his, yes. In his work,
yes.
Hasn't he?
Yes, yes, he does. He has humor. And he also, particularly when he went from people to these stilt figures with birds' heads, it's a little almost Daumier-esque, if you understand what I mean, if you can see it that way. But then he left that and he went on to something else.
Mr. Brands, what is the very first time you met with him? You discovered its work?
Well, Madame and I used...
Do you remember?
Yeah, it was 1982, or 81 or 82. In New York, every year, there's something called the Fine Print Fair, and there's 100-plus dealers from all over the world. And I was at the time collecting Les Anciens Maîtres, and modern stuff or contemporary stuff wasn't of great interest. And I met this dealer, a shop called Andrew Fitch, and Andrew is very well-spoken, a bit... like a little cockerel, you know. He said, well, I'll show you things you like. And he showed me a work by Eric. And the work was Le Tour de Babel. And I fell in love with it. Because it embodied everything that I love in art, which is mystery and a little bit of fantasy and depth. And I could feel... I don't want to get into psychology, but I could feel that that drawing came out of something inside the artist. It just wasn't a picture. And the next year I went and I bought another one.
And then you started.
And so on and so on and so on.
Tour de Babel remains your favorite piece,
You're asking me which of my children do I like best? It's very,
it's
very difficult to answer.
So.
There are big pieces that I love and there are small pieces that I love. There are intimate pieces.
They're all unique.
They're all unique, exactly. Yes.
Among all of its inspiration sources, there are women as well.
Him?
For him? Are they or not?
No.
Not so much, actually.
No. For me, yes. In my other collection.
I was actually thinking of your collection.
No, okay. Well, that's another story. I think there's more. He admires... his inspirations are architectural... nature. I mean, to take a gourd, what is a gourd in French? Le coloquinte. He took those for about four or five, and he did it by themselves. He colored them, he rearranged them, then he did them in front of a city view. So you have this bowl with a mound of squashes in front of a view of a city. Then he went on to crabs. He became fascinated with crabs, and he did several, both in color and... I prefer his black and white work, mostly. And I have a beautiful one.
Thank you very much, Mr. Brands. Can I ask one last question to you, Mrs. Brands, just to know a little bit of your feeling about its work and how you save, you leave its paintings, its drawings, according to your heart. Could you please give us a little word about your your interest feeling? in its work?
In Eric's work?
Yeah, in Eric's work.
There are some that are my favorites as we started collecting them.
What's your favorite? Or you have the masterpieces you like the most?
Yeah, not the same as
so
Irwin's.
Tell us yours now.
Okay. What is the one with the...
There's the Van Kisouf.
Yeah, there's one with a window and there's a curtain sort of being blown into the window. And
It was the first print, the interior print, in which he used colored aquatint. And it's blue and white and black, and it's called Le Vent qui souffle comme il veut. It's a room with a chaise, and there's a French doors, and there are sort of very light draperies that are billowing. You could feel the wind inside
blowing,
the room.
Blowing, yeah. There's, you know, it just does something to me. But also, we met Eric very early on in his career.
He was living in Le Marais.
And we went to visit him and his studio. And somehow art becomes more meaningful to me when I know the artist and know a little bit about him and see him and meet him and so on.
That is an important part of his work.
So I was really attracted, you know, and after you meet the artist and you like him, then you pay more attention to his work.
Get to be more interested in him.
Right.
Are you still surprised of its work? Like every day you're discovering a new one. Are you still surprised, like your husband was saying, he was all the time very surprised of it?
Well, Irwin spent more time, you know, looking at the work and things, and he would sort of bring them home or show them to me. So I guess the initial surprise would have been his. And then, as he said, we each have our favorites and so on. So some he would bring in. They weren't my favorites, but there still is a special element in Desmaizières' work, in Eric's work, that's really very special, looking at the details. And one of the things about prints is it's very intimate, and you get close. You have to get close to the work and look at the details. And I'm always amazed by the kind of work. And I know that some of these prints took Eric a year or two to make. So it's amazing. And the end result is
the two
wonderful.
Of you have discovered him. I mean, not the first to have discovered him, but who helped me a lot to succeed in a way of extending its work and the world. And today he's entering under the cupola at the Institute of France. Yeah. How do you feel? Do you feel proud of him? Or, I mean, what's inside your heart at the moment?
For him.
For him.
Very excited for him.
Could you imagine that, like, a couple of months ago or years ago?
No, I don't think so. I think that Eric is perhaps, although they tell me he's a very cool guy, but I would imagine he's in a bit of a state of shock. I don't think he ever sought this glory. He's not that kind of a person. And for his peers to elect him and honor him in this fashion must be very, very... I think he'll only feel it next week, okay? Right now he's a little numb.
He doesn't understand. Maybe you realize next week.
Yeah, oh, yeah, I think so. But we're here because, as Ms. Brown says, we feel special toward him. We don't know that many artists whose work we collect that, with whom we feel so on the same wavelength, if you will, you know. Mm-hmm. He's good people. That's all I can say.
So for the time being, I think we are going to leave the studio to have a look at his entrance under the cupola at the Institute. And thank you very much for being with us today, Mr. and Mrs. Browns. And we'll keep talking about Mr. Desmaizières very often, and we'll keep you updated. Thank you so much for coming from Montreal, and I hope you had a good time in Paris today.
Well, we did.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for inviting us.